Tensions are still high in several hot spots on the African continent. In Zimbabwe, President Robert Mugabe's ruling government lifted its ban on political protests and rallies over the weekend. Government forces and opposition leaders had clashed at a prayer meeting last weekend with several hospitalized. We'll hear from two of those injured in a moment. Later this week, Mugabe's party votes on whether to suspend elections scheduled for later this year that could remove the controversial leader. Meantime, Somalia and Congo have both seen their share of unrest in the last week, too, with 150 killed in skirmishes in Kinshasa over the weekend. In this Africa update, NPR's Farai Chidea talks with NPR Special Africa correspondent Charlene Hunter-Galt about the latest tensions in Zimbabwe.
The situation, which was relatively under control, even though people were accusing the government of ongoing human rights abuses against the opposition, now with this last violent episode in which dozens of opposition people were severely beaten and some say they were tortured, and then the government saying that the opposition attacked its people as well. You've reached really a new level of tension. You have a newly engaged and newly enraged opposition as a result of the government's heavy-handed response to the demonstrators.
When you say heavy-handed response, you mean that literally. Why don't you tell us about some of the people you've had a chance to talk to recently?
I met with Grace Quinji. She met me at her door to her hospital room. This was the first time she had actually walked unaided, and it was quite labored. And this is how she told me she got to this state.
They were saying hit the head. You know, he was concentrating on my head until I fainted. I didn't realize that he had actually, you know, a piece of my ear had come off in the beating with the iron bar.
You also spoke to Sakai Holland as well.
That's right. Sakaya Holland is a 64-year-old grandmother. Listen to what she says happened to her.
Five men met me, each one with an instrument. So they were hitting me as I went in. And when I passed them, they were hitting at the back. I went into a passage. There was another five men doing exactly the same, hitting me to the front, and as I passed them, hitting my back. When I got into the charge office, there was another five men who did exactly the same. A younger man was called in to hit me on the top of my knees, bottom of my knees and knees. And somebody shouted, "You haven't finished." And he came and hit my arm, hit my ankles and my ribs. And that's when I think the fractures occurred.
Now, this isn't the first time that Sakaya Holland has been, in effect, brutalized by the state security forces. Her husband, Jim, was telling me that they've had shots fired at their home. She's been beaten before in protest demonstrations. So I asked her as she lay there in her hospital bed, "Why do you keep doing this?" And this is what she said.
When I was young, my father went to the United States of America on this leadership grant. And the stories he told us about slavery, what had happened to our continent, et cetera, really influenced our lives in the family. And we are a family that has been raised to aspire for the liberation of African people.
So, Charlene, given the dramatic details of this case, how has South Africa reacted?
South Africa's been under fire from the media here, from human rights activists and others for not abandoning what it's now calling constructive diplomacy. It is insisting that this is the right path to take, that it's up to Zimbabweans themselves to solve their own problems. They're available to help facilitate this dialogue. And indeed, South African President Thabo Mbeki has gone to Zimbabwe many times to try and talk both sides into coming to some kind of negotiated understanding on the way forward. But as everybody can see, this hasn't worked.
Well, we're certainly going to keep an eye on that. And meanwhile, there was fighting in Somalia and Congo this past week. What's the background to these two issues?
Well, certainly in Somalia, you know, it's been an up and down thing with the Islamic forces taking control of Mogadishu, then being taken out. And now you've got some of the worst fighting in months. Over 20 people have been killed. More than likely, you've seen the images of Somali soldiers being dragged through the streets. Some were burned by the civilians, the insurgents attacking Somali soldiers. So it's really been quite fierce. Government officials have vowed to continue fighting the insurgents, who they say are led by Al-Qaeda cells.
And what about Congo?
Well, you know, here's Congo, which had its first election since independence, 40 years of war, and finally there was an election that saw Joseph Kabila, who had been put in charge of the country, now the duly elected president of the country. But then Jean-Pierre Bemba, the defeated Democratic candidate, had to take shelter in the South African embassy after clashes between his guards and Democratic Republic of Congo troops. Now, the precipitating thing there was the insistence on the part of the president that Bemba disband his personal bodyguard, because that was believed to be creating tensions. And so this has led to a conflict that has left people dead, that has caused the evacuation of some nationals in the country, and have led all sides, including the United Nations, the European Union, and others, to call for a ceasefire.
Charlene, as always, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Farah. You know, we always try to bring at least some good news from the continent, and hopefully next week we will have some.
Charlene Hunter-Gault is NPR's special Africa correspondent. She spoke with NPR's Farah Chidea. You can hear Charlene regularly on News and Notes in our Africa Update.